Greetings, this is the Automatically Deleted Husband, and I was going to tell you about an article I saw on the Babylon Bee, and I was actually going to use that as the photo, but I'm not, but I'll give you the link, because it was really good. It was simply the headline, report, you should hug your kids right this instant. There's no body to the article. That was it, and this is a picture of a mom hugging a child. You know, because obviously I think it was related to the Texas shooter incident. And I thought, yeah, agreed. It's a great idea. Problem is, I can't. And so did that impact me? Why, yes, it did. But then I was about to place the call, and, you know, because I'm on their I use can't think of the word anyway I get there anyway picture of a lifeguard. I haven't read the article, but picture the life of a lifeguard sitting there with his, you know, his in his high chair and has his walkie-talkie in his hand, so forth, and the title. For his safety, lifeguard waits an hour for backup before jumping in to save struggling swimmer. Obviously, that is, you know, again, this is satire, but what is the point? Because in the Texas shooter incident, and I've seen some of the videos now of the families outside saying, there's a guy in that school right now killing kids, and you're not letting people go in, and you don't go in yourself? I can imagine what those parents felt like or feel like now. It's kind of like, this is going to be one of those things that I think will have the ripple effect. Because, you know, several things have come out. For example, they say he just turned 18 and went to a gun store to buy guns. And, of course, they went to the gun store and found out, no, hasn't been here. So the question is, where did he get the guns? And, you know, he's a person apparently living at the poverty level and buys two brand new expensive guns. Kind of like, So, you know, there are a number of issues that seem to be falling apart here. And again, my concern is how many people can figure this out? And I'll get there. Okay, there it is. You know, the microphone's in front of the screen, so anyway. And this is one of my fundamental concerns, is there's so much distortion that's happening, and in the news media, you know, it really... you could see there was a build-up, and a lot of people will point to one of the big turning points in the deception of the media, especially in the U.S., was 9/11. Because so many things were said by the media that you know, again, if you go back to the, you know, the, what was it, 50s, 60s? Somewhere in that time frame. I don't know if it got to the 70s or whatever. No, yeah, 70s, because it was the Church Commission. The expression Mockingbird Media became popular, and of course it's still mentioned today. Why? Operation Mockingbird, where the CIA placed people within the news media in order to get their point across. You know, this is done in a variety of ways. This is why you have to have certain credentials in order to get into a particular news conference or things of that nature. And more often than not, what happens is, if you ask the right questions, you're invited back. If you ask the wrong questions, you're pushed to the side. So ask the right questions, and then things will go well for you. You know, again, it goes back to that example I gave of a Saturday morning at a men's conference at Covenant Presbyterian in Chattanooga, where it was General Bell giving a talk, and then afterwards I asked a question, and it was asked the wrong question. You don't do that. you don't get invited back. For some reason, I haven't been there in years, but that's another issue. But anyway, so I find it fascinating because I really wonder what's happening. So, you know, well, one of the examples is, there's a scene that's often used about George Bush at the time, speaking of George Bush from yesterday, said, because the line has been used, the clip has been used many times, where he said, people in our administration, and I think the administration before, couldn't think of the idea of somebody slamming airplanes into big buildings. And, you know, so he said that with a straight face. And of course, it was constantly checked, tested and reviewed over and over and over again by the U.S. government of airplanes crashing into buildings. I mean, so he makes a statement. And, you know, the thing that I find so fascinating is somebody in Knowlton or whatever, it's a PR company. The woman who spoke to the U.S. Congress before the first Iraq war and talked about the incubator babies and whatnot. She was a daughter of an ambassador or something of that nature. It had nothing involved with hospitals and whatnot. But she was trained, prompted by this advertising company in order to make that message. And that same advertising company has been used to get the message across about COVID-19. So it's again, you know, lie once, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me more twice, shame on me. Well, you should be ashamed, but that's another issue. But, you know, and again, one of the things I find fascinating, because the relationship is, when you think about this potential shooter, and now the question is, where did he get the guns? You know, when the war in the Ukraine, the recent one, started, there was a whole bunch of guns were brought into Kiev. Kiev or Kiev, I don't know what the difference is. I wonder if one's Ukrainian, one's Russian pronunciation of the name. I don't know. But a whole bunch of guns were there and simply released. Simply the crates were literally put out in the streets. Here, take them. Because we got to defend our country. Who got them? Many of the criminal organizations within Ukraine simply, here, you know, they were handed to them. They let prisoners out, handed them guns. And, you know, you wonder about where the violence comes from. Is this any relationship? You think of the Fast and Furious thing here in the U.S. where we send guns to Mexico and then they come back to the U.S. And it was kind of like, we're doing this on purpose. Why? Anyway, the other thing I found fascinating is apparently, you know, we've dumped a whole bunch of, and it was the surprise, I think it's the Javelin anti-tank things or whatever it is, gave them a whole bunch of them, and they're not working too well. Reason being, they're like 30 years old, a lot of, and they have batteries in them, and the batteries are dead. So here, go, shoot this tank. It's kind of like, because why are we doing that? We want to dump our stocks with people we don't care about. And you know, again, that $40 billion package, the bulk of it goes to the U.S. military industrial complex. It doesn't go to Ukraine. So we dump the old stuff and build new stuff and restock ourselves. Isn't it wonderful? War is a wonderful thing. Well, again, it's that line from the movie Schindler's List, where, you know, he's with his wife talking, do you know why, I forget exactly how he said it, but do you know why, you know, I did this business, and nothing really did well, and now I'm doing extremely well. What's the difference? And the way he said it, war. Yeah, you make a lot of money with war. And, of course, the best way to make money with war is to have wars over there. So those people over there die, destroy their country and whatnot, but we make a lot of money. Yeah, go America. Anyway, and that is the reality of it. But the more important things. I mentioned yesterday about the masks and the plastics in the masks and how they're getting into people. and causing a significant increase in so-called COVID-related deaths. I mean, 50 to 100% increase in the death rate if you wear a mask. And I mentioned the difference between a microplastic that are frequently tested where it's just a round ball versus the irregular shaped ones that they mentioned, because that's what you get from the mask. And I thought about it last night afterwards. And what came to mind was a photo. And so I checked the photo. And it really got to me. Because the thought I came with is a place that's safe with round plastic is these play places where you put all these little round plastic balls and you throw the kid in there and you throw them in all the balls and they can have fun and whatnot. Every once in a while, some of these balls get crushed and you take those out because those could cause, you know, harm. But otherwise, you can jump in there and have a wonderful time and so forth. They're done with the plastic balls, and in this case, there's also the tennis ball idea. It's the same kind of thing. And I thought about that, and I said, I have a picture of one of my kids doing that. And I realized, I think I know what it is, when it is. And indeed, it is. And that's the picture I'll give you. And again, this is, you know, I just, it gets to me. I feel kind of the Lord constantly poking me, saying, remember this, remember this, remember this. And maybe it's because you have to go further on this somehow. I have a picture of Susanna, a day I had the date with her. And one of the pictures that I used before, and the other two, she's there with these balls in this cage thing with the mesh net. In this case, it's tennis balls. But still, it's the same idea. July 12, 2007. The day of collateral murder. And I feel that prodding. Because again, on that day, I was enjoying my Susanna, and Mr. Tumal was acting as a literal good Samaritan and was killed by people trained at Fort Rucker, where I was working. Yes, it has an impact on me. Anyway, apparently there's a plane going by. One last thing. I went to the mailbox to send a postcard. My postcard today went to Jack. And kind of fairly normal, I got a return postcard. This one, you have been and remain one of the greatest joys of my life. Happy anniversary. I love you, I love you, I love you. Your man. Refused. Yeah. I'm sorry, this is hate. This is hate. But I also got one. It was an act of love. This brought huge joy. You know, I opened the mailbox, I saw two things in the mailbox, and I said, okay, another return card. How normal. And I saw this. And it brought such joy. Opened it while I was coming down the driveway and had a wonderful laugh. I'm out in the driveway, just wonderful. Comes from my friend, Miss Lillian. It was a card, a thank you card. You know, she wrote a card to me because a couple weeks ago, I didn't see her that day, but I left a card. And I left with a card that I happened to have, and I did write it by hand, and I left it in the side of her, the window of her car, so when she got home, she would see it. Because my assumption was it was a Sunday It was Mother's Day. And I didn't see her, so my assumption was her son had taken her somewhere. I'm pretty sure it was Mother's Day. But anyway, because the following day was her birthday, and she turned 93. And so I didn't see her. I haven't seen her since. I saw her just before that. I didn't see her. I don't think I've seen her since. Oh, that's a problem. Lord willing, my plan is to go tomorrow morning, unlike last week where I had my shoes on. I stood up to walk out the door, and I got a phone call from Chris, and we were on the phone for over 2 hours. The conversation was fantastic. The subject matter was deep, deep on theology. It was magnificent. It was a joy. However, tomorrow, I told him, I'm going in the morning because that's when, you know, I went in the afternoon instead. And, you know, walking 9 miles in 90-degree heat was potentially a problem. Potentially not. I'm not sure yet because it's been a week and there are issues, but still. So I get this card from Miss Lillian. And, you know, I've described her before. She's a state champion. She's a state champion runner in her age bracket. Because, I mean, how much competition does he have? she went to National Seniors Games. 7 events, 7 medals. So it's kind of like, I know the state champion. But you see, that's a joyful relationship. It's consistent, again, as I point out, James 1:27, to visit orphans and widows. She's a widow. In obedience to Christ, I visit her. I go out on my way to visit her. Lord willing, tomorrow morning, I'll go to the farmer's market and also spend time, because I go right by her house, and I'll spend time visiting her. And her visits are typically not short, because it's unambiguous. She's literally a lonely old lady. And I'm a follower of Christ. I know that offends people, especially in the institutional church. I'm a follower of Christ. And what a privilege I have. You know, there were three people in particular that I would go out of my way to visit. Miss Lillian is one. Gary is number two. But he's now dead. And I'm really concerned for Mike. I don't see him as often. But he looked in sad shape. Gary, probably his life was shortened because he's vaccinated. So was Mike. And he was feeling bad after several days of feeling bad. It concerns me for Mike. Miss Lillian's vaccinated too. But I think she has something going for her. I think she's stubborn. I mean, to be 93 and running, yeah. There's some drive. There's some stubbornness to that. It's a good stubbornness. Anyway, I'm grateful that I see love. This was sent in love. Being returned wasn't love. In spite of that, beyond question, without any doubt whatsoever, I love that lady. I will bend over backwards to reconcile with her. Reconciliation requires both parties. Well, you know, that's interesting. Because, you know, I've pointed out before, the apocatalosso, the total reconciliation that you see, I think it's 4 times in the Bible. It's always initiated by Christ, and it's complete, it's total, it's done. Whereas the stuff that's done by man, you know, especially the Matthew 5:24, you know, the command to reconcile. Your brother has something against you. It's a command to reconcile. And what does the institutional church do? Oh, well, look, there's other things, and we got more important things to do. We're important people. We have more important things to do. I mean, just because Christ says that, what does he know? He's only my creator. Anyway, and of course, Katha Alaso, a more, you know, there's an emphasis there, and who's the command given to? 1 Corinthians 7:11, to the wife, to reconcile. First, be reconciled with your husband. The command is to the wife, not to the husband. My wife used to claim to be a follower of Christ. She seems like her dad. She's a scripture twister. It is my hope and prayer that she will indeed repent. I'm not the authority. The Lord is the authority, but I can point to the obvious. I repented in so much, and perhaps together we can repent in other things. My door is open to my lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, to walk hand in hand for the rest of our days, seeking the grace of God, seeking how to repent on things that we're blind to, and to encourage each other. One of my favorite words, sum parakaleo, sum, together or with, para, near, kaleo, call. Translated as mutually encourage or mutually comfort. It's an important thing, especially between a husband and wife. My hand is reaching out to my lady. It's been doing so for years. I love that lady. I'm not giving up. Dorothy Jane, my lady, I love you. And I want you back.